Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you for the Breakfast Bite on this Monday morning, November 18 of 2019. Plenty to get through. Plenty of cricket making news as we head towards the first test on Thursday. Let's start there as well, where James Pattinson was ruled out after a code of conduct breach. This is what Australian captain Tim Payne had to say on the matter.
Yeah, I don't think he is going to be there from the sounds of it and what I understand, but it's unfortunate. Doesn't sit with, certainly with our values, that what James has done. He knows that, he understands that, and he'll learn from it. And I think, you know, missing a test match potentially is a hard thing to deal with, but again, he'll learn from that and come back better.
Meanwhile, the Victorians yesterday, too good for New South Wales. Wasn't looking great halfway through the New South Wales innings, but they came home strong to close out victory by 6 runs.
Hatcher cranks it out into the leg side. 2 out there. They got him. Sutherland takes the catch. And that's it. Victoria get home. A patchy season, but they show all the fighting qualities that we've come to expect from this team over recent years.
That audio courtesy of Fox Sports, and it keeps them in with a slight chance of making the Marsh One Day Cup final. Meanwhile, in the A-League yesterday, not good news for both Victorian teams. Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory both suffering losses. The Victory not able to get any revenge for their semi-final smashing last year against Sydney FC.
Here's Brandon O'Neill looking to angle it for Ryan Grant, who's on side. Off the crossbar, must be. It is. And who else could it be but Costa Barbarossas, who does not celebrate. I'm not sure he's been given the option, but Sydney leads.
Just to rub it in, a former Victory man doing the job against them in his new sky blue shirt. Plenty more reaction to come from that game. The world of cricket, NBL, golf, WBBL, tennis, and plenty more.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Breakfast Club coming up after 6 this morning as well. Half Whitey and Scotty Gallant to guide you through your Monday morning with all the latest, including heading to the UK where Craig Gabriel is for us. Watching the ATP Finals at the moment, we'll bring you a score update with that match having just commenced in just a second. The early mail before 7. We'll try and get some reaction from the golfing world too, with a couple of events on at the moment. Tommy Fleetwood winning on the European Tour overnight. Ted Richards will join us. He was up to something a little bit different yesterday, heading to the top of the Eureka Tower. We'll find out why. Adam Collins will be in the studio from 7:30. Looking forward to hearing all about Collo's journey this year in the cricket world. And of course, we'll be focusing in on the Australian Test summer. Courtney Webb to join us as well from the Renegades. It was an amazing win yesterday. She hit a 6 of the last ball to win their match. Looking forward to chatting to her. And Matt Short, who was the guiding star for the Victorians yesterday, both with bat and ball, as they closed out Victory by 6 runs over New South Wales at the MCG. He will join us before the end of the show, so plenty to come after a very, very busy weekend. Let's start with Test cricket as all eyes start to turn towards Brisbane with the start of the Australian Test summer on Thursday. James Pattinson, as you heard a little earlier from Tim Payne off the top, has been ruled out after a code of conduct breach. He's been suspended for 1 game, so he's ineligible for test selection. Tim Payne spoke about that situation yesterday, not that he knew all the details at that stage.
Look, it's hard to comment on. I don't know the exact details of the situation, so I think there's been hearings and it's been dealt with by the appropriate people. So, I'm going to delve into what exactly went on, because I'm not totally sure myself. So, as I said, James understands that he's let himself down, he's let our group down, and as I said, we expect him to bounce back and come back strongly from it.
The Australian captain there, Tim Payne, speaking yesterday. It opens the door, of course, for Mitchell Starc, who now won't have to battle with Pattinson for that extra bowling spot. And this is what Tim Payne had to say about his form leading into the first test.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we've always had trust in Starkey. We know at his best, he's one of the best bowlers in the world. And saw it myself firsthand, you know, a couple of weeks ago against Tasmania. He took 10 for, I think, for the match and was hardly scored off. So he's in terrific form. And I think that from the Ashes, we've got that now. We're starting to build a real depth in particularly our pace bowling battery, and we've got any number of guys that can step up and fill the role. And when you've got someone of Mitch's calibre on the sidelines ready to go, it's pretty exciting. Mitch was really clear on why he didn't play in England, and we were certainly playing a slightly different game plan, but with our bowlers in England, we were more about containment and building pressure, and we just felt that other bowlers in England, certain conditions were suited better than Mitch. I think, you know, you get back to Australia and it's the opposite. I think the conditions here suit Starkey down to the ground, and you know, his test record speaks for itself. So it's going to be pretty exciting. I know he's always disappointed to be missing games. So hopefully we see that in his bowling in the next few weeks. I think it's going to be exciting to watch the big fella run in and let rip.
And it looks like he'll be taking his place at the Gabba. Looking forward to seeing Mitch Stark up there. More to come from Tim Payne a little later in the breakfast bite, along with Steve Smith, who spoke about playing his first test in Australia in about 18 months. Let's head to the Marsh One Day Cup, where, as you heard off the top, Victoria scraping home by 6 runs. Didn't look good for fair bit of the New South Wales innings. Victoria made 265, not quite batting out the 50 overs, out with 4 balls remaining. The steadying influence through the middle of the innings was Matt Short. He made 88 from 85 deliveries. And what about this man? On debut, he was fantastic in the Shield game last week, and he's continued it over to the one-day arena, Jake Fraser-McGurk. 54 from 49 deliveries, including 7 fours and a 6. He's had some start to his one-day and four-day domestic career. So hopefully Jake can continue his good form. He's a shining light for the Victorians. Marcus Harris made 44. Peter Hanscom made 36. So the middle order wasn't too bad, but the top order and also the tail not wagging. So Australia, Victoria all out for 265. New South Wales were absolutely cruising at 2 for 151 and then collapsed. Hughes made 83 at the top of the order. Henriques dismissed for 98 from 111 deliveries. So their top order doing the work, but no one else supporting them through the middle and the tail. All out for 259. So great victory for the Victorians. Peter Siddle took 3 for 40, Feckerty 2 for 57, Will Sutherland 1 for 64, and 2 for 21 for Matt Short, who just had a day out at the MCG yesterday. So the Vics winning by 6 runs. Let's have a listen to Jake Fraser-McGurk after a 50 on debut in the one-day arena.
No, I can't ask for much more. It's just really good being out here, you know, playing at the G is very surreal, but yeah, hopefully we can get a win on the board. I'm not sure, really. I just try and pretend like it's just another game of cricket, and which it is, even though it's a pretty big occasion. I just try and work with my partner, and they settle me down really well. Yeah, pitch is pretty flat out there, not much turn, but being out there with Shorty, you know, he's pretty experienced. He's played a lot of cricket, so, you know, batting with him is really good, and he calms me down a bit and, you know, just gets me in a groove.
Audio there, courtesy of Fox Sports. Jake Fraser-McGurk on the boundary after his 50 yesterday. The Vics winning by 6 runs, keeping their slim final chances alive. Good luck to them over the next week or so. To WA in South Australia, this was the other match yesterday played in the Marsh One Day Cup. Ironically, it was won by 6 runs as well. WA making 252. South Australia in reply all out for 246. Have a listen to this little incident that took place. A bit of a nasty one for Ashton Agar, courtesy of cricket.com.au.
Short ball pulled. Oh, it's hit him in the head. That is some bad stuff. He's down for the count.
Ashton Agar it is.
And Wes is straight to his attendants.
He just slipped here. His feet came out from under him.
Oh, no.
And it split him. The ball went straight through his hands and smashed in. I'm not sure if it got his nose or just between the eyes.
Blood everywhere yesterday. So luckily, Ashton Agar just copped a broken nose from that one, but he is A-OK. In terms of the batsman for WA, who impressed, it was Cameron Green again with 86 from 78 deliveries. He's putting together a nice piece of work at the start of this summer. Ashton Turner made 28, Hilton Cartwright 43. Those were the three major run contributors. Josh Felipe, 22, Darcy Short made 5, Sean Marsh made 8, and Stoinis 3. So a few of the Australian representatives there not quite going as they would have hoped. Wes Agar, meanwhile, Ashton Agar's brother, playing for South Australia, took 5 for 40 from his 10 overs. So his nice form continues. Zampa 2 for 47 and 3 for 61 for Kane Richardson as WA made 252. Callum Ferguson was outstanding at the top of the order, making 127 from 125 deliveries, though he didn't have much assistance. The next best was Valenti with 33 from 39. Kane Richardson made 26 at the end, but South Australia just falling short by 6 runs. Nathan Coulter-Null, the best of the WA bowlers, with 5 for 48. Time to get to a bit of the A-League from the SA. As I mentioned, not good news for both Melbourne teams. We'll start with Melbourne Victory, 2-1 losers against Sydney FC. They did have the lead through Ola Toivonen just before halftime, but Lafondra and Barbarousis, the ex-Victory man, rubbing salt into the wound, scoring after the break, 2-1, the final score, and Victory slumped to another loss. It has been a poor start under Marco Kurtz. One win through the opening six fixtures and only 5 points on the table. Let's have a listen to the Victory coach.
Everybody knew it before the game that we missed a couple of players, but my focus was for the players there available. I think we were a really strong side today. We played a really good first half. We scored a 1-0 winning. We had a chance for the second goal in the first half. I'm a little bit disappointed and angry about the equalizer because the defending was not strong enough. And at the end, when Sydney is 2-1 winning, then it's hard to come back. We had a moment, but yeah, it was, you must have a brilliant day. I think the performance from the boys, from the group was in a good way.
Marco Kurtz speaking yesterday. Has been a poor start from the Melbourne Victory. The other team on the other side of Melbourne that has been doing very well is Melbourne City. Unfortunately, they slumped to their first loss of the season yesterday with a 4-3 defeat against Brisbane. What makes it worse is Brisbane were winless going into yesterday. They registered their first win, and it was a fair comeback as well. Jamin McLaren scoring all three goals, so he was supposed to be out for about 5 weeks with a hamstring injury, came back early, scored a hat-trick, and then Brisbane Roar had a hat-trick man themselves, with Roy O'Donovan scoring 3 on the way to victory.
Always has shown his goal-scoring ability down under. He's doing it again. O'Donovan, hat-trick!
Melbourne City looked so comfortable. 2-0 they led, then Brisbane scored, back to 2-1. Jamie McLaren scored his hat-trick, so they were up 3-1 with only half an hour remaining. And then 3 late goals for the Brisbane Roar, propelling them to the 3 points over Melbourne City. Let's have a listen to Robbie Fowler. He is the coach of Brisbane, and it was his first win in Australia as a coach.
Obviously, getting your first win in Australia is huge. Look, what we said at half time was, look, you know, we were maybe a little bit sloppy in terms of possession. Not all of the first half. You know, you give Melbourne City a little bit of credit, but you know, I think the wind played havoc for both teams, both halves. We came in, we sort of knew what we had to do, get our fullbacks a little bit higher, put a little bit of pressure on their back line. And what I will say is, you know, I think if you didn't know that our team and our players have got character, I think we showed it in abundance with our second half performance. I thought we were, I think, quite incredible, you know, to score 4 goals against the league leaders, as they were. I mean, it shows you know, that we've got a little bit about us.
Go, Robbie Fowler speaking yesterday, very happy man after his first win in Australia, and Brisbane Roar off the bottom of the table. Good news for Melbourne City, they're still at the top, but their lead now has been reduced to just 1 point over Sydney FC in second position. So hopefully our man Scotty Jamieson and Melbourne City can get back on track soon. Before we head to the ad break, let's head to the NBL. A couple of results yesterday. We'll start with Casper Ware, who was playing very well again for the Sydney Kings as they got over the line against Illawarra in front of a record crowd. I'll tell you about that next.
In your hot. It's just a little short. Oh, that's an easy give up. Newley cleans it up and Casper takes his chances from outside that time.
So yesterday, 17,514 people turned up to watch the Sydney Kings play the Illawarra Hawks at the Kudos Bank Arena in Sydney. So an amazing turnout there. 92-87 the final score. Sydney Kings too good for the Hawks. Let's have a listen to Will Weaver, who's pretty entertaining as a coach. He's good on the sideline and he's also good in the press conference afterwards, is what he had to say.
Just guys played harder and better, and you know they deserve a ton of credit for adjusting to that. And as a group, we've got to figure out how to start a game with better focus. Every team's getting better, you know, all of us, and we're all, like I've talked about that ad nauseum, but I don't feel like we took them lightly. I don't feel like any of that's, you know, I know they're bottom of the ladder, but like we know how good those players are and how well coached they are and how organized. And last week is a perfect example watching that Cairns game. Like you see it all clearly. And so I'm under no illusions that like our focus wasn't right, but we have to recognize that other people are working too and getting better. And so we've got to continue to step our game up as well. And as the game went on, there was more good than bad, but to start the game like that was disappointing.
Will Weaver there, not happy with the start, but Sydney coming over the top of Illawarra 92-87. Let's head to the Perth Wildcats now, who defeated the New Zealand Breakers 88-77. Trevor Gleeson on the win.
Defensively, to hold a team like that to under 20 points for three quarters was, you know, outstanding effort. So coming back from a back-to-back, tough game Friday night, it's always a little bit, you know, how are we going to respond? And the guys played outstanding. It was, really good effort. Obviously, Bryce started well, I think, first 9 points, and we got some clean looks early. And, you know, when the Bryce and Tirico and Clint get going, it's pretty good. And then Jesse got going late in the game. I think it was back to 2 points in the fourth, was it, or third? Then we found him open for one, then went straight back to him. That was really good for the, you know, we talk about our group intelligence out on the floor. That was a good part for us.
Time for a break on the breakfast bite. On the other side of this at 12-6, we'll catch up with the golf from overnight, WBBL from yesterday, and a bit more as we head towards the first test in Brisbane on Thursday.
RSN 927's breakfast bite.
Can Webb hit it over the fence? Or can she get it to the boundary for a tie? She's got plenty of it. It's high. It's long. It's a victory. Can you believe it? The Renegades. Courtney Webb hits cap over the fence.
Yesterday, as Courtney Webb hit the winning six off the last ball, the Renegades women beating the Sydney Sixers 4-139 and the Renegades 8-141, winning it off the final delivery. What incredible drama at the end of that match. Speaking of drama, there was plenty of it yesterday, or overnight rather, in South Africa, as well as Tommy Fleetwood put his name on the Nedbank Trophy.
Tommy Fleetwood is your 2019 Nedbank Golf Challenge winner. What a fabulous effort. A 65 to get into the playoff. First playoff hole par. And he beats Marcus Kinholt for his second Rolex event victory.
He finished at 12 under the card with Marcus Kinholt and winning that playoff, Tommy Fleetwood, the Nedbank champion. Well done to Jason Scrivener as well. We've spoken to him a couple of times throughout the year. We'll try and catch up with him again this week on the Breakfast Club. He was equal third, so nice payday for him as well, and 517 points for overall as well. So nice work by Jason Scrivener. Let's hear from Tommy Fleetwood, the Englishman who was pretty emotional after this win.
The money's not that important, obviously. Like, I guess being a golfer these days, you have the chance at a young age to set your family up for life. And
that's fine. Take a moment. It's very emotional. 22 months since your last win. I know how much you've wanted it with all those top tens.
Yeah. No, I'm just very proud of that, really. And everybody that goes on the journey with you constantly. it's just really, really cool when you win a tournament. It really is. And chopped it down 18 then. And, you know, I hit a great shot there, and you stand over those putts, and you never really know what's going to happen. You just have to stand up and hit them. It's great.
Started the day six shots behind. An incredible round that you played. Three eagles, four birdies, one of which came from a bounce backward off a sprinkler head. Try and tell us what you were thinking, what you were feeling as it unfolded and in the playoff.
Yeah, I was getting more and more nervous. I think after yesterday, played all right yesterday, and I came in and there was a stretch in the middle, like 11, 12, 13. I had like a good birdie chance on 11, missed a short one on 12 for par 13, hit two perfect shots, went over the back and kind of come off, and you were disappointed, but looked at that and I thought if it was two shots better on a tough day, it feels like completely different. And it was just, we went and putted last night at like 5:45, sort of went away, come back, putted before dinner. And, you know, today I actually made a great up and down on one, and I made a great up and down on three. And, you know, without those, the day can be completely different. You know, the eagles come, got a bit of luck. I didn't really realise that we'd had that bit of luck on 15. Felt like it had a great putt on 16 that just missed. And 17 and 18, I was proud of how I played those holes, really, when, you know, you're leading and they're tough holes. It's weird looking back on a tournament, but, you know, it's all said and done now, and happy days, really.
Tommy Fleetwood after the win overnight in the Nedbank Challenge. So well done to him, Africa's major, as they call it. Let's head back to the world of Test cricket now, where Tim Payne has spoken about the challenge of Pakistan yesterday.
Yeah, they do, and we always know that with Pakistan. They've got highly skilled players. They've always got good fast bowlers, good spinners. At times they're a bit unpredictable, but I think that happens when you've got, you know, highly talented players. So we know we're going to have to be at our best. They've shown, you know, in the last week or so that, they're a highly skilled, dangerous opposition to play against. So we're looking forward to the challenge. I think it's going to be a great series to watch. It looks like there's plenty of pace in both attacks and some, obviously, some highly skilled batsmen. So I think for the cricket fan in general, I think this series is going to be extremely entertaining.
Tim Payne was also asked about the aims of the Australian batsmen and spoke about trying to get away from relying on Steve Smith all the time.
No different. I think there's always pressure, whether it's external or internal. We're playing cricket for Australia, so the pressure is on us to perform. And we spoke a little bit last night about the fact that we felt we made some strides in England, but it means nothing if we don't continue to improve. So we know that our batters in particular, our batting group, we need to be getting more runs out of. We can't be so reliant on Steve all the time. So that's a huge area of focus for us this summer, is to make sure we got guys that are scoring hundreds and we're putting big first innings runs on the board. And we know if we do that, our bowlers have shown in any conditions that they can win us games. So it's about our batting group continuing to improve and to get better and putting scores on the board that we know our bowling attack will defend.
Let's head to Steve Smith now. He spoke yesterday as well, and he spoke about playing his first test back in Australia after 18 months off on his homeland.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'll probably just have to try and get used to the bounce of the wicket again at the Gabba. It's probably a little bit different to the last two Shield games I played at Drummoyne and the SCG, where they've been pretty benign wickets with, you know, I don't think I had a slip in while I was batting for the whole time I batted it basically at Drummoyne and the SCG. So for me, the next few days, just about getting used to the bounce of the Gabba and practicing, you know, leaving well and just being patient again. And yeah, I'm sure I'll get plenty of that work in and be good to go Thursday. It was nice to spend some time out there. I think it's going to be a bit different, the surface, obviously, at the Gabba compared to the cricket ground. But, you know, I just found it hard scoring. You know, there was no slips. It was a ring field. The square was pretty dead. The wicket was pretty dead. And there's a couple of times where I just hit it and I thought, that's got in the gap, that's runs, and it just sort of died and couldn't get him away. And but it was nice to spend some time in the middle all the same.
He also spoke about the Pakistan attack and what he is expecting from them.
I'd never faced him before. Obviously bowled really well in that series, I think, in Dubai last year. You know, he looks like he's a bowler that stands the seam up, so any sort of movement, I'll sort of get the most out of it. We'll have to be really disciplined against him, that's for sure.
And Nasim, the youngster, did you see much of him against Australia right now?
Yeah, it looked like he bowled some good pace. You know, being as young as he is, he probably hasn't bowled lots of overs consistently. So for us, I think it'll be about just making him come back and bowl as many spells as he can and seeing if he can maintain it. You know, it's going to be hard work for him, probably in some pretty warm conditions up here as well. So try and get the overs into him, and hopefully, you know, if he's bowling well early on, be able to cash in later on.
Steve Smith speaking yesterday. Meanwhile, before we finish up on the Breakfast Bite, let's head to the tennis. Stefanos Tsitsipas and Dominic Thiem in the ATP final. It is Tsitsipas leading 5-4 in the opening set. Dominic Thiem about to level things up at 5-all. He leads 40-15 on serve. So we'll keep you updated with that all throughout the morning on the Breakfast Club. Half Whitey and Scotty up next after the 6 o'clock news to take you through your Monday morning.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.